What's up, people? A lot to go over today. The Griff Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
It's the one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Just like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus?
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
Shout out to DJ Protocol in the house. Goldstein, Justine, Allison. What up, y'all? Dre Brown said, YouTube unsubscribe me. We were looking at my stats last Friday, and everybody noticed my followers are going missing, and I gave YouTube the benefit of the doubt and said it was a me problem. Maybe it is a YouTube problem. Why would they unsubscribe you? Why would they do that? Am I that dangerous? I can't be that dangerous. Am I that dangerous? We only get, like, between 200 and 300 listeners on this channel, but and then like maybe 2,000 views total. So I don't know. Shout out to Spotless, Nerd Nash, Sauce to Profit, Fresh Mike in the house. What up, y'all? What up, y'all? Before we get into what we got to get into, don't forget to go to superdap.ai, get on the whitelist, opportunity to win $10,000 in Bitcoin. But that is where we are going to be taking our people to. You're going to have exclusive access to me. I'll be doing all my chatting in the Super Dap group. And basically what happens is you can invest in the group. Well, actually, you have to invest in the group in order to be a part of it. So this is a interesting way to say put your money where your chat is. And I'm very excited about that project. I can't wait. Because not only do I earn based upon however many people join the group, we all earn based upon however many people join the group. So everybody's incentivized to encourage other people to join and invest. So ordinarily, I don't recruit, but for Hotepistan, monetary purposes, we will be recruiting for Hotepistan in the cryptoverse to increase everyone's holdings. So go to SuperDap, and it's two P's. .ai. And then once you're done with that, it only takes a few moments. Once you're done with that, I want you to go to the description box below and join our Telegram group. I'm dropping gems in there. Meme coin plays. I got a meme coin. I got a couple of meme coins you should pay attention to. So we're going to drop some plays for you today. This is not financial advice. Do not try this at home. Bet at your own risk. So, with that being said, let's dive right into the grifters and what the grifters are saying. I want to start off with an interview between Piers Morgan and Peanut Butter and Jelly, a.k.a. Patrick Bet-David. I call him Peanut Butter and Jelly because his name is PBJ, PBD, some shit like that. Hold on, let's put this up on your screen. All right, beautiful. And let's roll the tape.
Supposed to be a grandmaster. Your number one move should be protect your border, not Ukraine. If you're saying let's worry about Ukraine, maybe it's number 9 on the list. It ain't number 1 above the border. That is the most ludicrous argument I would ever make.
Well, let me ask you this.
We have to take care of America
first. Well, let me ask you this.
Then we take care of everybody else.
Why should America be supporting Israel then? That's thousands of miles away.
How much money are we giving to Israel?
Billions.
How much money are we giving Israel? I'm curious. Go ahead. I'm curious. Go ahead. Are we sending troops over there? Are we sending missiles over there?
No, but
how
you
much
are...
money are we giving to
America
Israel?
America does
the
spend...
dome we've given it since 1945.
America has
$10 billion we've given to them. $3 billion is towards the dome.
Yeah.
How much money are we giving them?
Hundreds of billions, technically. Hundreds of billions.
Billions of dollars.
Not comparable to what we've given to Ukraine in 12 months.
Well, in 12 months, Ukraine has gotten a massive amount of money, but they have not caught up to the amount of money we've given to Israel.
24 months? No way.
Isn't the
principle, not even close.
Isn't the principle the same? You're doing it to help them defend themselves.
No, it's not. The part with Israel is slightly different because it's both strategic, because there's only one country in Israel that has historically always been pro-America and has been an ally. In the Middle East,
and that's
Israel. Mm. Iran's not been the case since the Shah, right? Saudi Arabia now with MBS, he's trying to work and make progress.
Rudy DeVette Russo in the chat. What up, Rudy?
To the point where Ronaldo, your friend, feels safe going out there with his family to play soccer there. These are good things that MBS and Saudi Arabia is doing. He's kind of doing what the Shah was doing back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I like what he's doing with Saudi Arabia. But Israel, to us, a part of it is also loyalty due to our faith, where we need that country, especially what America was founded on, Judeo-Christian. That's a little bit deeper than that. But with Ukraine, the guy's an opportunistic guy. Respect to him that's coming up to America, making everybody feel guilty and raising money. I salute him for being a great beggar and a great fundraiser.
Israel is a distraction. That's my take. It's a huge distraction. The powers that be created Israel out of the land of Canaan, somewhere around the 40s and beyond. A massive amount of money went into creating infrastructure. According to the British mandate, basically said, this territory is going to be under our rule. Okay, this is the British mandate. Part of the so-called agreement, although it wasn't much of an agreement, with the Ottoman Empire at the time. So, this region called Palestine or Gaza, it was part of that empire at one point, and meant a lot to those people, the Islamic people of that empire. And basically under the British mandate, or according to the British mandate report, massive amounts of funding came in to help the Israelis or the Jews establish a nation. Now, according to what I read in the British mandate report, that was not the intention. The intention was, you know, this is our territory and we just want to make sure we create harmony in the region. And what it seemed to be was the Jews came in and massive amount of funding supported them. And then they started creating infrastructure, and that infrastructure disproportionately benefited the Jews and the Palestinians or the Gazans at the time. Didn't like that too much, and there was a lot of fighting. So it's basically just diplomatic colonialism. I pretty much wash my hands with the situation, but I don't know. It seems like PBD is just trying to play it safe, right? I mean, he doesn't want to upset anybody. He doesn't want to get canceled, and you know, Ukraine and Israel have a unique relationship to each other. If you came to Hotep Con, I told you what that unique relationship was and why we're actually going to Ukraine, and it has a lot to do with the people of Israel. Anyway, but, you know, to say that we shouldn't be giving money to Ukraine, but it's okay to give to Israel is, it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical. They're one and the same. We're giving money to foreign countries, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, well, Israel's been an ally, and Ukraine obviously is positioning himself as an ally to NATO and the West. So they're quite comparable now. So I'm going to just go ahead and say PBD is full of shit. Peanut butter jelly, you full of shit. You're full of shit. Anyway, let's go on to the next story. Let's do a couple of updates here. So yesterday we talked about the baby saying the N-word. And I told you guys, wait until Tariq Nasheed gets a hold of this story. And sure enough, he did. He said, oh, great. Another vile suspected white supremacist who worked for Charlie Kirk and his TPUSA organization. Isabella Moody. Now, I saw somebody react to this story, and she posted in the chat that, basically, Isabella Moody is affiliated with AF Post, America First Post, which I believe is Nick Fuentes affiliated. So this ignorant person said they reported Isabella Moody to her employers. Little they know, their employers are probably clapping when they heard the baby say the N-word. So, no, you do not get credit for thinking you've done something. Now, what has happened in the meantime, let's pull this up. I'm just going to search Isabella Moody here. And right here, we have mostly peaceful Latinas said Isabella Moody got her account yeeted after using her baby to rage bait on this trash app. Imagine using a baby to incite race wars on the internet and for engagement. Vile and godless. Far worse than doing OnlyFans, and her husband is a simp who allows this. So since the reporting yesterday, Isabella Moody, according to what I can recall, deactivated her account. And the reason why, I think people were calling Child Protective Services and saying this is child exploitation. And that's why her and her husband deactivated their accounts. Let's look at this clip here from Tree of Logic.
Shout out Malcolm X, dude.
Dude, if I said I was the white Malcolm X, I'm a white nationalist, I'm racist, I can never get a job.
Yeah, I think Malcolm X is based. I'm Malcolm X.
Cool guy, yeah.
I would say he's based if he wasn't black.
Hey, speaking of getting a job.
Shout out Malcolm X.
Yeah, you know, just trolling. I don't really take her serious. You know, it's just your usual race bait trolling. But as you can see, the people were celebrating after she deactivated her account. Now my thing is, you know, after you pull a stunt like this and say, my daughter literally said the N-word, I'm so proud of her. You know, after you do something like that, you know, you got to stand 10 toes down. You got to stand on what you said. Don't deactivate your account. Don't run. Because now you're having problems with the law. It's not cool. You gotta be ready for all you signed up for, Isabella and your husband and the rest of. Hold on. I have to leave Telegram, otherwise I'm gonna keep getting notifications. You got to stand 10 toes down. You got to stand for what you believe in. Take that. So the evidence is there. I don't know if CPS is the reason for them deactivating an account, but they're deactivated account. And it's just, you know, you got to play stupid games. You win stupid prizes. You know, we've talked about this in the past. Like, relax, everybody. You know, Elon takes over the app. It's free speech. So now you get to just act an ass. And that's what's so interesting about free speech. And this is why, you know, I say sometimes, especially when we're dealing with America, I'm a fan of free speech. And we shouldn't ban comments like this on the internet, because as you can see, when we created, you know, free speech on the platform through Elon's admin, people started showing their ass. They started showing their true colors, started showing who they really are. And the people who support them started showing who they really are as people. And I said before the Elon Bucks is going to bring out the worst in people. And a year later, after I said that, here we are. These people are selling out for the Elon Bucks. I just wish he wouldn't have deleted her account. Why deactivate account? Stand 10 toes down on what you believe in. You signed up for this. Karma came back to bite you in the ass. You got to rock and roll. You got to rock and roll. Take that shit on the chin. But apparently, looks like it got a little too hot in the kitchen. Got a little too hot in the kitchen. Let's go to the next story here. Google fired some employees. I haven't had a chance to watch this video. Let's take a look.
Yeah, I'm going well. It's getting kind of late.
Yeah.
Just a little bit ago, wanted to ask you, you know,
yeah,
to cooperate. You know, we've been placing admin leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, we'd like to see if you can just voluntarily, you know, so it's been a while. So can you do that for us? And, you know, move forward in that space, and then you can contact HR and go from there.
Could you get in contact with TK about this?
No, I can't talk about that. I'm just here, yeah, what I spoke about earlier, because if not, you know, we'll have to call law enforcement,
yeah,
and go in that space and,
understood.
You know, get trespassed and all that.
Yeah, we understand.
Look who they send this. Look who they send to speak. Hey, send the black guy in. Send the black guy in to talk to the protesters. They always send us to do the dirty work. That's nasty work.
Okay, just trying again. Okay, all
right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
They call that a cat's paw. They got their masks on still? They still got their masks on? I know the back of their ears is burning.
Alright, you guys gotta leave. You guys refusing to leave?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You first end up.
Lock their asses up. Damn. Straight to jail. Do not pass go. Knock the camera down. Fuck that camera. Beat their ass. It's like, nah. Joking. So, I saw one conservative comment on this story, and they're like, oh my God, look at these people protesting Google, and yeah, lock them up, and, you know, I'm like, yo, so you on Google's side? Like, the conservatives have no principles, just no principles. Google and their activists, they're one and the same. This is internal beef. You're supposed to sit back, grab your popcorn, and watch the shit burn down. You don't pick sides. I want conservatives to do better. I really want conservatives to stand on principles. They don't have none. It's just, this is what Sonny be talking about. They just ain't got no principles. We're about to talk about reparations. But first, let's take a look at this story about black farmers.
Me, my wife, my family, and I, what can be done about the Watson Road Committee, the Eddie Blake Committee? They request the public records of my safety plan. I request the public records of this Watson Road Committee, if I can get that. We're not in the 60s. We're not in the 50s. I don't take threats lightly. I don't. When it gets to this point where I don't feel safe on my own property, we have a problem. Get threats on Facebook. I got all the messages, the hate mail. It's ridiculous. My first event, we had a deputy at Watson and Harbin Road. Neighbor on Watson Road, son came across the road and said, "Do you like white people?" This is the issue what we're dealing with on Watson Road. It's not because of the music, the traffic. It's not that. We're dealing with a hatred issue. And I'm asking the commission, I'm asking the administrator, could he please have a conversation with these residents? Because I don't like the way it's going. I was called in for 3 meetings. Why am I the only one being called in for meetings? Can we get them in to try to resolve this issue? I don't want war. I like peace.
I mean, honestly speaking, I love the energy that you have, but we can't guarantee that the other party will want to have this same conversation. But I do see the hand of the administrator. Mr. Administrator, and I saw Commissioner Holt's hand as well.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Holt is absolutely correct. We called him in. We've asked him to do certain things as Colonel Collins has referred to, and he has done those things that we asked him to do. And because of his setup, he doesn't have to do them. So he's been very cooperative with us. We will again attempt, with your permission, the opportunity to at some resolution with this, because we don't want to go the law enforcement route. Nobody wants that. But we will attempt with, if I have your blessing to make sure we try and have some formal engagement with the residents and Mr. Holt.
They would agree to be the problem would be with Commissioner Holt.
Yes, I was about to say the same thing with the meeting, to have a sit-down meeting, and that way maybe we can resolve some of these concerns. As long as you are a member of agro-tourism, under agro-tourism, you can't have events on your property if you are a farmer, and that you are. So that's under the state. That's not under the local government. But I'll be more than happy to sit down along with any members on this board and with you and your issues there with them and the community.
Thank you.
I'll be more than happy to.
Thank you so much here. All right.
So they're dealing with racist farmers, and I've seen. So I told you guys about this other black farmer, and the way that black farmer works is, in his area, what he does is he hires all white people. So when he's got to go and pick up supplies, or you know, get something serviced, or go to the bank, he sends white people in. Because if he were, well, he's just had hurdles. Like they're just not cooperative with black people. And obviously this is a down south thing, and I'm sure these people are probably Trump supporters. And that's not to alienate Trump supporters, but that's my guess, you know. And it's a precarious situation. It's a precarious situation. And, you know, people try to say we live in a post-racial America and all that stuff. And I think race relations have gotten better. But the way the political activists on both sides operate, I'm sure it doesn't make this situation any better. You know, the way the media operates, because you're going to have people that are going to be racist, right? And what I think happens is, you have the Black Lives Matter activists who act an absolute ass and make race relations even worse. These people get infuriated. They see stuff on the news, and they see black people coming in, and black people are now buying property, and black people are now farming. And this goes to the whole, you know, I might be broke, but at least I ain't black. You know, that whole situation. But something to keep an eye out on. This could boil into something violent. Could definitely boil into something violent. So just want to keep an eye out. Let's get into the reparations conversation. And then we'll get into some big brain stuff, and got some Planned Parenthood stuff in here. But let's go to the reparations conversation. Let's see what's going on with Don Jr.
Reparations. That's a conversation that's been ongoing. I feel like it comes up here and there, and
somebody said, why Candace don't talk about this? I don't know.
And people always wait for some type of, hey, listen, if people are getting either paychecks or what's supposedly due to them, what about African Americans and reparations?
Yeah, I'm not generally, I think it's, you see the stuff going on in California, and it's like, well, you know, if we took 10x the California budget, this is, I'm like, what, like, you know, I look at, you know, me, do I pay into this? Like, my grandparents came here in 1906. Was, you know, we were never,
right? Like, I think the idea is that.
You seen Don Jr. right there? He had to pause. We were never. He's like, hold up. Let me be careful here. Let me be careful here. We know about your granddaddy. Come on now, Don Jr. We know about your granddaddy. So he had to be careful. He wanted to say, we were never. Watch it, listen.
Was, you know, we were never.
I think the idea is that
academics, let the nigga talk. Academics is a terrible interviewer. What is this?
Grandparents came here in 1906. Was, you know, we were never.
And so the problem here is ACK cares more about the relationship to people in a position of power than the actual interview, right? So he wants to make this more softball than just having a casual conversation, right? Because he's like, I'm sitting here with Don Jr. I got the invite. I'm in Mar-a-Lago. I kind of want to hang out for the rest of the day, and I don't want to piss these people off, right? Carlos said ACK was ready to bail him out. Yeah, it's like ACK was like, yeah, let me help him out here. And it's just like, I get it. The grift over everything.
I think the idea is that African Americans built the country, so anybody who even
I don't understand that concept. African Americans built the country. I never understood that concept. I'm gonna need somebody to explain that to me one day.
Are even a byproduct or a recipient of anything good should pay into the people who are the ancestors that helped build the foundation, and those direct descendants of those ancestors somehow, which obviously wouldn't be me,
yeah,
by the
listen,
way.
I get the concept. I'm sort of, you know, I'm not long these concepts because I think they're too complicated. I think they get taken too advantage of. I think, you know, when you see some of the numbers that are being thrown around, it's like mind blowing.
Like Bernie had said, he had mentioned that too. Like he was like,
you know, California, they're like, oh, it's like $30 trillion and we can be fine. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, what are you talking? Like, let's say. So, you know.
And ACK is not the one to do this interview.
I don't know. I think it's one of these things, obviously a disgusting and terrible time in our country. I don't know how you do that reasonably, logically, equitably.
So let's address ACK and then we'll address Don Jr. ACK is not equipped to handle this interview. He does hip hop commentary and, you know, I think what happens is somehow people, you know, maybe it was the Rumble people, you know, connected ACK. And, you know, every time we have a conversation with these political people, they rush straight to hip hop because they want the viewers, right? They want the eyes. You know, they're not really concerned about the content. They're worried about, you know, how many eyes is this going to get on here? So they know ACK has a large following. So they just go, they go based upon numbers. This is a numbers game. Who's got the large following? Okay, let's talk to him. And he's not intellectually equipped, which means that it's a win for us, right? So even if Sonny Johnson had a super large platform, they wouldn't have the conversation with her because it would just be too tough. And, you know, in politics, what you want is you want to look your best at all times. So you kind of have to judge what interviews you take and what interviews you don't take. So they picked the right one, ACK, to accomplish their goals of maintaining ignorance. Right now, Don Jr. He was in a peculiar situation. OK, and that situation is, Who do I offend? Do I offend my base or do I offend the blacks, right? So he has to manage that tightrope. And I think he did a fine job because he didn't answer the question. He just basically, you know, feigned ignorance and acted like he didn't know anything. And that may be true. Maybe he doesn't know anything, but he basically, you know, played ignorant and didn't answer the question and didn't offend anybody. Right. So it's so you got to give him, from a politician's point of view, you got to give the guy an A plus. You got to give him A plus because that's what politicians are supposed to do. They're supposed to manage the art of not answering questions, like answering questions without answering questions and not alienating people. Like that's the goal. It's not about truth. It's about not alienating people. So, you know, he could have stepped on a landmine and said, hey, you know, if he says, no, I don't support reparations, then that's black backlash. If he says, yes, I support it, then it's red, white backlash. So he just plays the middle ground and goes, I don't know, you know, and, you know, you can judge that however you see. But all he's telling me is that he hasn't thought about the issue. Right. Because, you know, you ask these guys about the border crisis or anything else and they come up with a whole bunch of solutions. But the conversation of reparations is just something that, you know, comes up in conversation and they just ignore it. They don't talk about it. And I'm neither pro nor against reparations. I just see it as people have an issue that they want resolved and they call it reparations. And I just sort of watch people have the conversation. But again, back, you know, 5-6 years ago when I had the debate against a black conservative and I let him rock through the whole debate until I finally unleashed my my finishing move. And I said, Dems must pay. And I talked about this before. Dems must pay. Make the Democrats pay, right? Like, and it's not something that is, it's not realistic, but it's a way to win both bases, right? So instead of playing neutral, he could have said, you know what, you know, why don't we have the Democrats pay? And what would have happened was, you know, black people would have rejoiced because they would have said, oh, wow, we might get reparations. Democrats would have took a huge L and the Republicans would have said, you know what, I can get behind that. Make the Democrats pay. I've done it before and Democrats tend to get behind it. But again, it took me about all of 15 minutes to come up with that solution. Cause I sat down and I thought about the reparations. I'm like, I thought about the specific problem that Don Jr. is in right now. Right. You don't want to offend black people and you don't want to offend white conservatives. So how can you sell the concept of reparations to both parties who are diametrically opposed to the conversation as it's been carried out in the past? And then I came up with Dems must pay and everybody thought I was a genius. And I was like, no, I'm just the only person that actually sat down and considered the feelings of all parties involved, the red whites who hate the concept and the black people who love the concept. And I used my brain power to figure out how I could get both of them on board. And I came up with Dems must pay, right? And so I'm just trying to figure out how this hasn't gotten to Don Jr. yet, or if it has, how come he hasn't used that? But again, they should have called me.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
They should have called me, and we could have had a private conversation, and I would have coached them through this conversation, the reparations conversation, and laid out a platform for them. And we could have did some real strategizing. But instead, you know, the red whites sometimes don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to bring it up. And it's because they carry the same emotions, the same racist emotions as those farmers, those white farmers that black farmer is dealing with. This is the base of the right. So on the left, you have racism that exists in the power structure. And then on the right, you have racism that exists outside of the power structure. Right. And when you combine the two, it squeezes black people into a very precarious situation. Stewart says, how can you get the public to accept it? Well, the thing is, the public is, that's a very general question, right? So what I'm saying is, instead of trying to get the public, try to get the majority, and that's two thirds, right? So you have red whites, blue whites, and blacks. So we can get two thirds. We don't need the last third. We got the majority. So that's how you get the public to accept it, because in a democracy, the majority rules. So as long as we can get the majority, then everybody else sort of got to bite the bullet. Protocol says, I can't stand black Republicans who are anti-reparations and go hard for the stance. Well, they just got to grift, right? They got to pander to their base, and they got to prove that, you know, I'm one of the good Negroes. I'm on your side, and, you know, I don't like the things black people talk about either, you know. So that's pretty much how they operate. So yeah, again, politicians calling up the hip hoppers, you know, come talk to us, because we don't want any real challenging conversation. We don't want that. Why would we want that? Well, let me file this away under black issues. I have a black issues folder, so I just want to make sure I pop that in there. I got a video here, a 13-minute video here from Ben Shapiro. I don't know why I even bookmark his videos, because I never want to listen to his voice. All right, let's go to the update on yesterday's report. So yesterday's report, we were talking about a black kid who smacked the shiznit out of a seemingly trans teacher. Okay. So according to eyewitness testimony with this update, what they're saying is that the teacher was rubbing on him. I don't know how true that is. I'm going to show you the person who made this comment. Let me see if I can find it really fast. I'll pull it up on your screen. But that's why I said, I need to hear all parts of the story, because I think there's more to it than we're led on to believe. So here we have this person, just regular account. Could be fake. I don't know what's going on. It says, eyewitness account, the teacher inappropriately rubbed on the student, then took his vape, then dared the student to smack him. So he smacked him. So when I watched, you know, the little bit of the clip that we had, because I think what happens is people jump to conclusions, right? You see a kid, he's dressed in, you know, your typical hip hop fashion. He's angry, he's upset, and you just immediately dismiss it and say, no daddy at home, kid with a bad attitude, he's got to be wrong. Whereas me, a black guy who's had run-ins with authority figures in this public school system, I know how one-sided that system could be. Because there's plenty of times where I deserve to be in the principal's office, and then there's plenty of times where I did not deserve, and the teacher was capping and all this other shit, right? I remember I had one English teacher, and this is my senior year. We're about to graduate, and she says to me, Brian, I don't think you're going to pass my class. And I said to her, I don't think you want to have that conversation with my mama. Now, keep in mind, my mama wasn't going to do shit. I just pretended like I had one of those mamas. Keep that fear in these teachers. And she was like, oh, are you threatening me? I'm going to send you to the office for threatening me. And I looked at her like, really, nigga? Threatening you? I said, you don't want to have that conversation with my mom. What in there? And the whole class kind of laughed, so she felt stupid. And she calmed that shit the fuck down. She gave me a passing grade, and I walked across that stage. Anyway. So when I saw the kid and he smacked the alleged trans teacher, you know, I had to give him the benefit of the doubt at first, because I'm like, I don't think something, you know, as far as just taking something away would really make somebody that angry. I feel like this was premeditated. A bunch of different incidents culminated added up until finally the straw broke the camel's back, and he had an outlash, right? He lashed out. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, because, like, we've seen the stories. Some of these teachers be on some weirdo shit. They're getting accused, indicted, charged with SA allegations, SA charges. Some of them are pedos. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at the motherfucking school system like, how's he got this job? I don't think these people should have that job. I'm one of those people who have that controversial opinion where I don't think these people should be teaching kids. You know, I don't know what job is right for them, but teaching kids definitely is not it. So I can understand a black male being put into an environment where he feels very uncomfortable, and this individual comes and puts his hands on him and rubs him in an inappropriate way. Hey, man, the kid's got a right to, he's got a right to defend himself. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people just, you know, because the trend right now is, you know, black kids are violent in school, right? So everybody jumped to the teacher's side of things, didn't ask questions, because, you know, that's the thing right now. It's just black people are bad. And it just goes back to the fact that the Republicans have done the numbers, and the Democrats probably have done the numbers too, and said, you guys are irrelevant to this election. Blacks are irrelevant to this election. We don't need your vote. We're going to do very minimal outreach. We're just going to call academics up, have a conversation with him, and then that's just going to be it. That's the extent of our outreach. So they don't really give a fuck about the black vote, which is why you're starting to see such a deterioration between the relations between blacks and the red whites. Kamar Daniel with the $20 super. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Shout out to Kamar Daniel. So, yeah, I reserve judgment. I reserve judgment. However, there is one individual that has not reserved judgment, has chosen to take the side of the trans teacher, mostly because, you know, he doesn't like black people, right? And it's none other than Uncle Hotep. He says here, black youth smacks a teacher and y'all cheering. J. Edgar Hoover didn't go hard enough on you, Shines. Wow. Wow. Tell me that's not ultimate cooning. Oh, my mama. I'd like to just note that he omits what that teacher was. It was one of the T people. I just like to note that. He omits that fact, but he does describe the youth. So he doesn't say youth smacks a teacher. He includes a modifier, a descriptor, an adjective here, but no adjective for the teacher, which immediately tells us that he's leading with the bias. And we might have to bring him up on charges. We might have to bring Unc up on charges for this. Because after we have this new information, it's like, Unc, which side are you on? Whose side are you on? You know? And that's what it's going to come down to. Y'all with the T people? Y'all just going to let them have free reign and be touching on your kids? It's a really weird stance to have. All right, before we get to the big brain shit, I got one more story for you here. This one's a bit disturbing for me. Let's play the tape.
We need to create communities where women can receive sexual and reproductive health care with the love, respect, and compassion that they deserve. I promise to continue to do my part and use my platform to break down barriers and empower women all around the world.
So somebody obviously, or maybe she did, prepared a speech or whatever. So Megan Thee Stallion receives the Catalyst of Change Award at the 2024 Planned Parenthood Gala. Now, I think it was Angela Stanton King. And I did the research on this way back in the day. And I basically took the exact numbers And here she has them. I took the numbers from Planned Parenthood themselves and did these calculations. And if you look here, it says Planned Parenthood Annual Report 2022 to 2023 says 392,715 abortions, while only 6,316 prenatal clients. So their name is Planned Parenthood, meaning you're planning to be a parent. But if you're having abortion, you're not planning on being a parent, right? So this is some 1984 Orwellian communist speech obfuscation agenda where, you know, instead of saying this is an abortion clinic, let's call it the opposite of what it is to hide its real agenda, okay? So 98.4% of Planned Parenthood's work goes towards abortions, and only 1.6 goes to prenatal care. So they're not in the business of saving lives and making parents or planning parenthood. They're actually in the business of not planning parenthood. Okay. And this is, like I said, this is numbers I had pulled out. And she says here, Planned Parenthood is a slaughterhouse for preborn children. Now, let's talk about the fact that over 70% of the abortion clinics are in black communities. This is true. This is true. So this is basically a eugenic scheme. And that's why I said racism on the left operates from a position of power. So the agenda is to use black women. So they find our icons, and in order to include them in their scheme, they give them awards, right? Because who doesn't want another award, especially when you're a rap star? You know, every time you get an award, your price goes up. These things go into your digital press kit. Your PR uses these things to sell, and sponsors look at awards and say, well, the more awards you have, the more you deserve to be paid. So it's in the best interest of the artist to take these awards. So, they use Meg Thee Stallion. They say, hey, let's give her an award. I don't know what the fuck she did to get this award. Catalyst of Change. Like, what exactly did, I don't know what the fuck Meg did. Somebody maybe has to clue me in on what work she has done that, you know, is associated with anything Planned Parenthood does. But this is what they do. They target black women, some of the biggest icons, and then or symbols, and then giving them a award. And here they are, you know, implicated in the destruction of black people, implicated in the destruction of life before it even gets a chance to get started. Okay, now let's go to. Let me file that one away first. All right, let's file it. I feel like I'm gonna need that video at a later date. Okay. All right. So let's go back to the Isabella Moody thing. I forgot about this tweet. So. This person here says, another reason why I picked a Jew over the black obsessed alt-right any day of the week. The alt-right has already proven they're not capable of anything except memes on their way to a well-planned extinction via replacement. Hats off to the Jew. I agree. I am definitely picking Jewish people over the alt-right. And that's why I say I can't play the anti-Semitic game, because y'all just don't know how to act. It's just fucking kids playing on the internet. And they're all very young. You know, the alt-right is very, very young. So I understand why they act the way they do. Now, couple of things on the big brain front. Let's start with money. Start with money first here. Check this video out. This should be concerning for you. Anybody ever had these problems?
I can't. Wait, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
So I can either give you a bank draft, or if you're gonna get cash, I will need an invoice. cockroaches.
Why? No, I'd like to. It's for if the car's payments for in cash. I can't use a bank draft.
You buy it from like a private?
Yeah, it's private.
Person?
It's literally from my friend.
From your friend?
Yeah, but he wants it in cash.
Can he give you like anything that you're purchasing from him?
So you need a note from your friend so you can take money out of your bank account. This is why we crypto.
No, I don't. You don't need that. Bro, what is it? I'm only asking for three. What is this? It's my money. I'm allowed to withdraw from my own bank account.
Yeah, so
you said that what's the maximum limit you can give a withdrawal to a customer? It's $3,000 on the date. You've already mentioned that multiple times.
Yeah, not today.
Why not today?
Today I would need a bank draft or getting an invoice.
Not today.
But why? You need proof of what it is? Why is that? And why is that? Why is that? Why do you need me to tell you what it is? What kind of proof is that? I bring in a note? What is that going to change? I don't understand.
So
you need to give my money. I'm not taking a bank job. I would like cash, please.
Yeah, I won't be able to
get I'm just going to sit here until you give me cash, so I'm not going to leave.
Okay, well, if you want, you can have a sit there.
And then do what? Who am I waiting for?
I can get the manager to talk to you.
Well, yeah, get the manager, because this is unbelievable.
This is RBC Bank in Canada? Damn. Somebody in the chat said it's RBC Bank in Canada. Damn, it's ugly out here, bro. Some banks won't even let you buy crypto with your own money or credit cards. This is how it is up here in Canada. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. All right, now I want to show you something. So, some days I don't share.
One reason you think founders...
I don't share my music playlist for the gym because I'm listening to a business podcast on that day. And today I'm going to play a clip, a very small clip of a business podcast that I truly, truly, truly love, 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 love. And if you guys are in the world of business, you should probably listen to this podcast. It'll level you up really, really fast. Now, for me, this podcast is more of reminders and vindication, okay? Because people that come on here are obviously a part of well-funded startups. Some of them are millionaires and billionaires. These are people that are either angel investors or large investors, venture capitalists, et cetera, right? So when I listen to these podcasts, what I hear is a difference from what you hear from people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about, right? So you have like Money Twitter and all these guys that'll tell you how to grow your business and all this other shit. And I usually read their tweets and I go, yes, guys, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. He thinks he knows because he read it on a blog and took a course somewhere. But in actual application, there's much more than meets the eye. So me having, 20 plus years of being an entrepreneur, I know what works and what does not, what's important and what isn't. So when I listen to this podcast, a lot of times I'm vindicated and I love being vindicated. I'm like, okay, good. At least I know I'm on the right track and I'm not crazy. So I'm going to play a clip today to show you how I think like a billionaire. Okay. I think like some of the most successful people in the world. Right. And the funny thing is, it's like I'm ahead of these people because they come up with these concepts that I've had for years and they finally come into the realization like, I think I've been doing this wrong and here's the right way to do it. So when I go to this clip, this is Harry Stebbings. The name of this podcast is 20 Minute VC and we have to go to the 4740 mark. It's at 4732. So let's just play it right here. And when you hear the clip, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It'll hit right at home.
At product market fit, like one reason.
Not solving a problem that matters with a solution that's compelling enough. That's what, like 10 words or something like that?
Yeah, but no, that's good.
You either, you fail on part A, you fail on part B, or you fail on both.
It's funny, I sat down at the start of the year and I said to the team,
Watch this.
I want to have a smaller audience. I want us to deliberately get smaller as a media company because I want to mean more to fewer people.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
You either
listen
you
again.
Fail on part A.
Listen to him closely.
A, you fail in part B, or you fail in both?
It's funny, I sat down at the start of the year and I said to the team, I want to have a smaller audience. I want us to deliberately get smaller as a media company because I want to mean more to fewer people.
Yeah.
Because I want to mean more to fewer people. So he says to his team, I want us to deliberately have a smaller audience because I want to mean more to fewer people. I'm going to play it one more time. Chat, thumbs up in the chat if you've heard me say this before.
That's good.
You either, you fail in part A, you fail in part B, or you fail in both.
It's funny, I sat down at the start of the year and I said to the team, I want to have a smaller audience. I want us to deliberately get smaller as a media company because I want to mean more to fewer people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Chat. Chat. You know, some people, they think the numbers mean something. They think the numbers mean something. They think the views mean something. Then you get super successful like Harry Stebbings, an investor, and he comes to his team and is like, yo, we got to get smaller with the audience. We're appealing to too many people. I want to mean more to fewer people. The Hotep Jesus philosophy for a really long time.
I wish all the black people were as smart as Hotep Jesus. And I wish all the white people were as smart as Hotep Jesus. And I wish all the Hispanics were as smart as Hotep Jesus. Because that guy, he really gets it. He knows how to boil it down.
Diamond J says, you say it at least five times a week. There you go. There you go. Now you heard a white man say it, a successful millionaire white man say it. So maybe it'll mean something now when you hear him say it, right? Because people say things like, Jordan Peterson packed an event and he got all these people. It's good for Jordan Peterson and the goals that he wants. But people in the know, people who are truly going to be the pioneers of life, 10, 15, 20 years from now, they don't operate like that. They don't operate like that. Jabari said, HJ ahead of the curve. Bro, like, I just listen to my intuition. I listen to what's right. Like, it just makes sense. When you appeal to more people, your message must be getting watered down. It must be. Because how do you appeal to so many people? Your message must not be worth shit if you're packing stadiums to talk. Because you ain't saying shit. You saying shit that morons gravitate towards. Whereas if I stepped on that stage, that same stage, 75% of the people would leave once I began talking because they go, oh my God, I can't deal with it. And that 25% that you see left sitting in that audience, those are real thinking individual people. The rest of them were sheep. The rest of them are fodder. They're not, they're automatons. They're drones. They're not real people. They're waiting for instruction. But that 25%, that Hotep Nation, that Hotepistan mind, these are the movers and shakers in our life. These are the people that are going to take action on information. We had a lady call in yesterday. She was in the middle of asking me a question, and she was like, Hotep Jesus, I got to go. I'm watching these crypto charts. She's watching the crypto charts. Our audience, when they get information, they act on it. So I don't care about packing stadiums. You know, I don't care about reaching, you know, a set amount of views on this channel. I want a small audience so I can mean more to fewer people. And this goes back to what I was talking about in business. Everybody measures clicks, click-through conversions, ROAS, MBS, all this stuff, right? They track all these metrics. You know what they can't track? Impact. How do you impact somebody's life? And the only way to get that is when I get that phone call and they go, yo, Hotep Jesus, you changed my life. Hotep Jesus, Hotep Nation changed my life. Hotep Jesus, the Hoteps really changed the way I think about things. Thank you for the content. How do you measure that? You can't. But you can feel it. I can't go into an investor room and say, yo, I can feel it. They're going to laugh me out the room. Which is why I don't belong in that room, because they don't get it. This is why I'm an entrepreneur and I do my own thing. And we form the organization, menoforder.com. We form Hotep Nation. So we do us. So we can operate on our rules. But I can feel when we change people's lives. When we do an event and we come together as a family. The vibe at HotepCon is not what you're going to get at CPAC. And that's not to denigrate CPAC. But two different purposes. CPAC has an agenda. We haven't, but you're not going to get the same vibe. And that's why you got people who come to HotepCon 1, 2, 3, and the Grifties. Because they're like, there's nothing like this on the planet. So I just want people around me to understand this concept. Stop chasing the views. They mean nothing. Change people's lives, and you will be compensated in ways that the views cannot help you. You know how many people got views can't get on Joe Rogan? You know how many people got views that can't get on Joe Rogan? You know how many rooms? You know how they say there's some rooms you can't buy your way into? People who got views and don't do gut felt? People who got views and can't just reach out and get a certain person on their platform. Meanwhile, wherever I go and Hotep Jesus, yeah, I know him. I heard of him before. Yeah. How is it that every time I go to an event, everybody says, I know who Hotep Jesus is, but the views don't match it? What's going on there? How is it I have the presence of a channel with 1 million subscribers without 1 million subscribers? Because I've chosen a different road, and it's called being real. It's called living in the real world. And stop fucking chasing these fucking metrics and clicks and all this dumb shit. It means nothing. And this is coming from somebody who did digital marketing for a decade. Sat there and looked at the analytics and the Facebook advertising and the ROAS And the more experienced I got, the more I realized the work I was doing means nothing. Digital marketing means nothing. It means nothing. You're filling the top of the funnel and all for naught. All for naught. Jabari said, can't measure cultural impact. You can't do it. You just can't do it. You know? So I just want people to be mindful, man. I'm going to play it again, too. I want y'all to hear it. I want you to burn this into your head. Hold on.
There are two strategies.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
The reason you think founders don't get product market fit. Like, one reason.
Not solving a problem that matters with a solution that's compelling enough. That's what, like 10 words or something like that?
Yeah,
but
no, that's
good. You either fail on part A, or you fail on part B, or you fail on both.
It's funny, I sat down at the start of the year and I said to the team, I want to have a smaller audience. I want us to deliberately get smaller as a media company because I want to mean more to fewer people.
Yeah.
The people at the top are just now realizing what I've been realizing. And I have no regrets, right? I have no regrets because people will say, the common response I get from people is, Hotep Jesus, how come you're not a millionaire? How come you're not up there at that level? And the truth of the matter is, I could explain it as I wasted my time helping other people build their companies and they were ignorant. Or I can say I learned a lot from working with other people. That's what I like to say. I learned a lot from working with other people so I could take all of their mistakes and turn it into wisdom for my own company. And when I launched my own company, starting with Master Focus, technically my first ever product, after marketing product after product after product after, I mean, dozens and dozens of products I've marketed for other people. And every single time I saw the same trend, the founder doesn't get it. The founder doesn't get it. The founder doesn't get it. And it basically came down to two situations. One, the founder wants to impress VCs. And very few founders want to build a business. So what I realized was most founders want to impress VCs to get more money. They don't actually want to build a business. And this is where I went wrong in my, you know, 12 plus years in digital marketing, realizing that, oh, you just want to get to the next round of funding, right? It took me a while to realize that was their goal, because I'm at the company and their goal is to impress VCs. And me as a digital marketer or marketing director, I'm trying to build a business. Those two things are diametrically opposed. You cannot, well, you can do both, but you'd have to prioritize building a business over the VCs. And that's the issue with a lot of people. They say, how come we don't have traction? It's because you did not prioritize the customer. You prioritized the investor. You always have problems in business when you do that. So what it turns into is the VC world turns into a Ponzi scheme. They dump money into it. Then you got another round. And then they sell off shares from that round to the next guy in the next round. And they're all getting rich. And before you know it, the company's underwater. They let it go. Everybody at the back end writes their losses as a tax write-off. And then they move on to the next project. And they just shuffling money around. That's the game that they play. And then very few businesses actually make it, right? So what they try to do is they try to make money make a business work. And sometimes it works, right? I think it worked with Uber. I don't know if Uber is in profit yet. They might not still be in profit. But I think Uber had such a unique idea that they were able to pull it off and needed the capital to pull that off. But that's Uber, right? Like, those things come once in a lifetime. But the majority of businesses that try to follow that same line of thinking and they have funding, they don't get adoption. It's because they think about the investor and not the customer. So, you know, business gems I'm dropping here for you. Y'all get it later. If you don't get it now, you'll get it later. You know what I'm saying? When you see Goldstein, Jabari, Strong Dad, Taylor Madden pulling up in the Lamborghinis, and we're all pulling up at the Lamborghinis, paid for in cash, at the Grifties, then you'd be like, oh shit, he knew what the fuck he was talking about. But you'll get it later. I probably won't get a Lamborghini though. Definitely not gonna get a Lamborghini. I don't see myself wasting money like that, but you get the point, because that's only people only respect these types of symbols. Phone lines? Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the Fizzones. Call in with your questions. If you're a regular, hit me with some fire content. And I'll be right back after the short brief commercial break.